Friends, this morning I need your kind of careful attention because I want to try and draw some distinctions between words that we sometimes use almost interchangeably. And those words are cost, price, and value. Now, in a materialistic world, we tend to pay more attention to cost. How much does something cost? And in fact, we kind of exchange the words cost and price. You know, what does that cost? Look at the price tag. And, a little less attention goes to value, because in a material world and a materialistic spirit of mind, the focus is on things rather than their value. Now, we have a bit of a challenge when we apply these terms to non-material things. Things like peace, freedom, human rights, truth, justice. Because you see, these aren't things that have a price tag on them in a sense, but we value them. And we sometimes forget that they have been achieved on our behalf at great price. Are you still with me? Now, when we talk about God's grace, we are also challenged, because we speak of God's grace being freely given and offered. And again, from our materialistic concept, you know, we're very suspicious about things that are free. First of all, when we're told that things are free, we often discover they aren't quite as free as we were given the impression they might be. And we are a little suspect about people going around saying, "I'll give you that for nothing." And so there is a certain challenge for us when it comes to this matter of God's grace, which is freely offered, but we are always reminded a grace, though freely offered, that was achieved at great price. And the challenge for us is to appropriately value this grace that God has bestowed. Now, I choose to approach this topic on a Sunday that follows our prior celebration of Good Friday and Easter and the Ascension and Pentecost, because all of that was part of the story of the price of grace. Now, our lessons this morning also contributed to that. And they were chosen to remind us of that thread that is woven into Scripture, of the price paid for our grace and salvation in Jesus Christ. Going right back to Old Testament times and words like those from the prophet Isaiah, when it was prophesied that the Messiah, the long-awaited promised one, would not come with the splendor and adulation that one might expect of someone of such prominence spiritually. In fact, Isaiah's message was that though they should anticipate the coming of the Messiah, they should realize that his coming would not be one just of grandeur, but in fact, even more visibly, one of hardship and rejection and suffering. And that was a message which the people of God had great difficulty understanding. Because if the Lord's Messiah came, then surely all problems would be resolved, all difficulties surmounted. And they needed to learn that it wouldn't exactly appear that way. And of course, that was one of the challenges in Christ's ministry, that they couldn't believe that the Messiah would suffer. It was, to them, quite unthinkable, though he tried to explain it to them, quite unthinkable that the Messiah would be crucified. How could that be? And yet, the gospel account is an account of the immense price paid by Jesus Christ, the Lord's Messiah, for the salvation of his people. And really the whole of the New Testament speaks to that sacrifice that he made on our behalf and on behalf of all those who come under his grace. And so we're faced with this challenge, you see, of appreciating, valuing what God accomplished in the sending of his Son, Jesus Christ. Remembering it with gratitude and with praise. But never forgetting the price paid and the cost at which it was achieved. And it is essential to our faith that we always value God's grace, because it becomes so easy for us to take it for granted. To just assume that's the way God works. He's a pardoning God, a forgiving God. And forgetting the great price at which that pardon was achieved. Now there's another side to this too, you know. We are called in Christ to live lives that have been reshaped by grace. Lives that are different now as a consequence of that relationship with Jesus Christ. Lives that are now lives given to caring. Lives that are now focused not just on ourselves, but on God's purposes and plan. If we realize that, we'll realize also that living the life of grace has some price attached to it. It doesn't just happen. Even the simplest things, you know, in the demonstration of Christian grace have a price tag on them, if you will. If we are going to be people who, in the name of Christ, demonstrate hospitality, it's going to inconvenience you a considerable amount in the course of your lifetime. Just that simple expression of care in the name of Christ in ordinary things, not perhaps in huge sacrifice, but perhaps frequent, you know, frequent setting aside of what you had in mind to do in order to exercise the hospitality of God's grace in Jesus Christ. And Jesus spoke words to his disciples which reminded them that they would also share in some way in his suffering. Not for the purpose of achieving their salvation, but for the purpose of being his people. That they would be called upon as a consequence of their relationship with him to accept and expect that the world's response to them might in many ways look like the world's response to him, which you see was not one of adoration and praise. Oh yes, the disciples loved and desired to follow their master. But for many, he was an inconvenience. He was the one who needed to be rejected. And so when, as in the account read this morning from John's Gospel, Pilate, a weak man who was looking for an out, offered, you know, do you really want to do this? The cries of the crowd were, crucify him. And so Christ's people, even those living generations later, must also understand that being one of his people may ask of us not to make that monumental a sacrifice that he made for the salvation of the world, but as his people, to be ready and prepared to make sacrifice for the sake of the name of Jesus Christ. And this gets us involved in the whole distinction between cost, price, and value. And so, grace has called us to be his people. And we must work always to appreciate the value of our grace with thanksgiving. You know, there's nothing we can do to repay God for what he has done for us in Christ. There's nothing adequate that we could ever have to offer. But what does God ask of us? Our acknowledgement, our praise, our thanksgiving. And so, may it be our ever-present reality in the living of the faith that we aspire to live lives filled with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving to God for his gracious care day by day, for his providence, for the hope that he gives, for the pardon that is ours in Christ, for the changed way of life that is not only one to which we are invited, but one for which we are, by the grace of God and the presence and power of the Holy Spirit, empowered to live. And, of course, if we value God's grace in Jesus Christ. We recognize the price paid, that Jesus made, that sacrifice, that the Lord's Messiah came and accepted rejection, that the Lord's Messiah came in human flesh and endured all the pain and anguish that human flesh can entail. And he did that for the sake of grace. And then it's important, as we live in that spirit of thanksgiving which God's grace evokes in us, that we then look at life with a recognition that there may be, you see, some cost to us to live the life of Christ's way with faithfulness and with truth. So, when we are challenged to find right ways of describing God's grace, may we sort of be able to sort out the distinctions that sometimes get lost in our world. And so always bear in mind cost, price, and especially the value of what God has done and is doing for the blessing of his people. This, my friends, is good news.